Today's shiur is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Nun Ches. We will begin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. As we had learned in the previous shiur, Midaraisa, when a woman becomes an Arusa, if her husband is a Kohen, she is entitled to Truma. As the Torah says, Kinyan Kaspoy. She becomes his Kinyan Kaspoy, and she's entitled to Truma. Chazal, however, taught us, even according to the Mishnah Rishayna, she may not eat Truma until the time of the Nisuin arrives. Anula explained the reason being, Shemitashka Lachel Lachaisa. Since during this period between Erisin and Nisuin, she still lives in her parents' home, there is a concern that her husband, if he's going to send a Truma, she will share that truma with her siblings, who are Yisraelim, and may not eat truma. Therefore, Chazal said she shouldn't eat truma. And as Ula went on to explain, so if so, when the time of the Nisuin arrives, she should still not be allowed to eat truma. Shema tashka lachaisa. So the Gemara said, duchta miyachadla. At that point of the time of the Nisuin arrives, even if they don't actually get married, he does set her up a separate apartment. She no longer lives in her parents' home, and therefore there is no concern that she will share these truma with her siblings. However, Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda gives a different explanation why a woman who's an arusa, although midaraisa allowed to eat truma, should not eat truma. And the reason is Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda Omer Mishum Simpin. Simpin, as the Mefarshim explained, means something that cancels a transaction. And here we're concerned that if the husband ultimately marries her and finds that she's a balas mum, it will turn out that she was never married to him. It was a mekachtos. She was always a Yisraelis who may not eat truma. And that's why Chazal said until they get married, she should not eat the truma. And as the Mefarshim explained, midaraisa, we allow it to eat truma. Because in most situations, a woman who becomes the arus of a man will ultimately have nesuin. There will not be any mum found. There will not be a mekachtos. Chazal were concerned. Ask Rabbi Chanan. He says that the Shef Shemaitza says that even though we always follow Roif, we always follow a majority, as in this situation, as we just explained, Roif times a woman doesn't have a mum that would invalidate the marriage. In a situation where we have two chazakas challenging the Roif, we follow two chazakas. As Rabbi Chanan, here we have two chazakas. We have a chazaka that she's a pnuya, that she's not married, and we have a chazaka that she's osati truma. So why don't the two chazakas outweigh the roif? Answers Rabbi Chanan. Over here we have something which is more powerful than all of the above. And that is we have an eight echad nemen b'yisurim. This woman is claiming that she's perfectly fine and she's not a balas mum. And that's why midaraisa, she's allowed to eat truma. It's only exerid rabbanim. Ask the Gemara if that's the concern. Yehachi, what did our Mishnah say? That nechnas al chuppah v'loy nivela. At the point where she already had a chuppah, even though she didn't have a bia, she's allowed to eat truma, nami. We should still be concerned that after he takes her into his home for nesuin, he will discover that she has a mum that will invalidate the marriage. Answers the Gemara, hasam mivdek badek lo v'hadamayel. A husband, before the chuppah, has her examined by his female relatives, and therefore, to make sure that she's not a balas mum, and that's what we can rely on. Ask the Gemara, if this is the case, that there's always a concern that someone may find a mum that will invalidate the marriage, the halacha is, evet koyin shalachay meyisrael. The evet kanani of a koyin is allowed to eat truma. Ask the Gemara, if a Kohen bought an Eved Kanani from Yisrael, the halacha should be lelech b'truma. We should not allow this Eved to eat truma mishum simpoin. We should be concerned that we're going to find out that he has a mum and that he's not allowed to eat, and that the sale was invalid, and he should not be allowed to eat truma. Answers the Gemara, simpan b'avodim lekum. We don't have to be concerned about simtoin by avodim. The mavroi, if it's an external mum, hakachazalai, it's very obvious what his status is. Vida gavoi, and if it's an internal mum, l'malacha kaboy, if it's something that's not visible, he was only bought for work. Vishmasaser, if he has something that is in, that's a mum, but it's not visible, layekbaslay, it doesn't really affect the owner, and therefore it would not disqualify the sale. Ask the Yavitz, maybe he has a heart condition that is an internal wound and does very much affect the worker. He's not a healthy person. Answers the Yavitz, that if the Eved has a heart condition, everyone would be able to see, because a person who has that kind of an ailment, if he's truly sick, doesn't have the energy level, doesn't have the vigor of another person, and therefore it was something that was obvious to the owner, and he can't say I wasn't aware of it. What are we concerned? The nymphs a ganef, that perhaps this Eved is a ganef, or kavyustus, or perhaps he's a kidnapper. Higiyai still says the Gemara, that would not be an invalidation of the sale, because everyone who buys an Eved Kanani has to expect that he's a ganef or a kavyustus, and then if it actually turns out that he is one, he can't say, if I would have known, I wouldn't have bought him. Of course you would have bought him. Every Eved, that's something you should expect. We define kavyustus as a kidnapper. That's how Rashi explains it. Tysus, on the other hand, says kavyustus means a gambler. Mayika, what is the concern? List the mezuyin or muchtav lamalchus, that perhaps he's a arm bandit, or he has an execution warrant from the government, and that is not typical, and that is perhaps the concern that he bought. Says the Gemara, Hanu kula islahu. A person, an Eved, that is a wanted kidnapper, or a wanted man, a list of mezuyin, everybody knows, and he can't say, if I would have known, I wouldn't have bought him, because it's something that everybody's aware of. And therefore, the Gemara explains, when one buys an Eved Kanani, he could comfortably allow him to eat truma. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Ben Lamar, the Gemara has offered two explanations why an Arusa should not be allowed to eat Truma. Either, as Lula said, Shema Tashka Lachal Lachaisa, she may feed her siblings, and Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda that we just learned because of Simpan. But the bottom line is, according to both explanations, Lo Achla, while she's still only an Arusa, she's not allowed to eat. So ask the Gemara, my Benayu, what is the halachic difference between these two explanations? Answers the Gemara, as Rashi explains, Ik benayu kibel mosav aholach. And Rashi says kibel mosav aholach refers to three different situations. Kibel means where the husband said, no matter what I find with this woman, I want her for my wife. So if the concern is simpain, there is no concern. He accepted her no matter what she is. But if the concern is that she may feed her siblings, that's still a concern. Masa means Masa av l'shluchei abal, and halach means halach shluchei av im shluchei habal. That in this situation, although she's not considered, as we learned in the Mishnah earlier in our Masechta, not considered totally married to him, she's no longer living in her father's home. So the concern that she's going to feed these truma products to her siblings no longer exists. But the concern of simpoin still does exist, because they aren't completely married, that she's his wife under all circumstances. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Rashba has a different explanation of the Gemara, where he says kibel mosav aholach is really all one situation. But that's not the way most Rishonim learn. So we learned in the Mishnah of Machlokes, when a Kohen gives his kala, his arusa, truma, what proportion does he give truma and what proportion does he give chulin? Rav Tarfon Omer, a nice man called truma. Rav Tarfon says that the entire portion he gives is truma, and Rav Kiva says half truma, half chulin. Amar Abaye, so now the Gemara qualifies this machlokes. Machlokes a bas koyin lekoyin. It's only when a bas koyin married a koyin. That's where we have this machlokes. A bas yisrael lekoyin. In a situation where a bas yisrael married a koyin, so she in her father's home is not familiar and does not know how to deal with truma. She comes from the home of Yisraelim. Divrei Hakol, we only could give her mechtza chula and mechtza truma, half chula and half truma, because we are concerned that if we give her all truma, not being familiar with knowing how to deal with truma, she may chas v'shalom eat truma, even in a time when she's tamei, which someone who's tamei obviously may not eat truma. Vam Rabaya, another qualification Abaya says, machlaikis barusa. Our machlokes of Tarfon and Rav Kiva is only by an arusa, how much truma she gets and how much schooling she gets. Av v'nesua, this is the way Moshe Rishonim explained the Gemara. If a woman becomes nesua, completely married to her husband, but they did not always live in the same home, and we know kol kvuda bas melech pnima, girl's place is in the home. It's inappropriate that she should have the responsibility to go out and sell the truma. So if the husband's going to give her only truma, and then, as we explained, there are times in the month where she is tamei and she can't eat the truma, she's not living in her parents' home anymore, that her father, her brothers, can help her sell the truma. She herself will have to go out to sell that truma, which is inappropriate. That's where everybody agrees that under those circumstances, the rehakol mechtza chula mechtza truma. Tanya mehachi, and actually we learned this in a brisa. Rav Tarfon Omer, nice law called truma. We give her the entire portion truma. Kivay mechtza chula mechtza truma. We give 50% chula and 50% truma. Says the brisa, b'med v'amamurim b'bas koyin lekoyin. If she's a koyin's daughter, av bas yisrael lekoyin. There, and she doesn't know how to treat the truma. There, the rehakol, and the family does not treat the truma. There, the rehakol mechtza chula mechtza truma. Furthermore, the medvar amurim barusa ab nesua. If a woman's in nesua and her husband is giving a truma, everybody agrees it should be mechtza chula mechtza truma. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira Omer, even though our brice and gemara has taken the position that a woman should get 50% chula and 50% truma when she's in nesua, or if she's a bas Koyin, Abbas Yisrael or Koyin, Yehuda ben Seira uses a different formula. His formula is, Noisnul Shtei Yodash Truma V'Akash HaChulin, 2/3 Truma, 1/3 Chulin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira agrees that there are times in the month that the woman will not be able to eat Truma, and therefore for those times of the month, we have to give a Chulin. But whereas Rabbi Kiva and even Rabbi Tarfon said that we're giving a chulin, we have to divide it half chulin, half truma. He says we don't have to make the division that way. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says giving a 1/3 chulin will cover her needs for the times that she cannot eat truma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now we have a different opinion. Nois lo hakol truma, we give her all truma, v'mecheres v'lekachas b'damim chulim, and she sells and buys with those truma money, with the truma produce that she sells, she buys chulim. And as Rashi explains, what is the difference between Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and Rabbi Tafran's opinion? Don't they both hold that we give her all truma? Says Rashi, according to Rabbi Tafran, when we have a girl who's an arusa, and let's say she's a bas koyin l'koyin, the Rav Tarfon says we give her all truma. We give her, the husband gives her, says Rav Tarfon, according to Rashi's explanation, the amount of truma that she needs to eat the whole month. Either is going to be part of the month that she won't be able to eat truma, and she'll have to sell the truma, and the truma is worth less than chulin, simply because the demand for truma is a lot less. Only kohanim and their families and their avodim are allowed to eat truma. The Tarfon is not concerned. He says if there's not enough from selling the truma, then her husband that her father, her brothers, will make up the difference. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, if the husband wants to give her all truma, he can. However, he has to give her so much truma that if she sells the truma, and she's going to get, she could buy replacement chulin with the money that she receives. Again, given that we just said that chulin is worth less than, that truma is worth less than chulin, she needs to sell a lot of truma to get the right amount of chulin. So Yehuda says, you want to give her all truma, it's fine. You want to give her the responsibility that she has to sell the truma and to get chulin for the time that she could only eat chulin. Rabbi Yehuda accepts that. But Rabbi Yehuda says, we have to give her enough truma that she could easily replace it with chulin. Now we have a different opinion. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Kamakum Shoskur Truma, wherever we give a truma, nice like a flying bechulin. We give her double chulin for double truma for chulin. For every time that she needs to eat chulin, and we're giving her truma, we should give her double the truma than chulin. What is the nafkamina, asked the Gemara, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Ikvenai tercha. As we explained, even Rabbi Yehuda agreed, we don't just give her the amount of truma that she needs to live, to eat for a month, because that won't do. There are times in the month that she can't eat truma, and we have to give her more truma that she could sell and replace it with chulin. But selling truma and buying chulin is a tircha. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, we want to make it so very easy for her. We give her double the truma and chulin. For although, as we explained, truma is worth less than chulin, it's not half the value. Yet says Rav Shimon Gamliel, give her so much truma that it should be so very easy for her to sell the truma and replace it with chulin. Only then could we give her all truma. The Mishnah continued discussing that Ayovim ain't a mach of a truma. And as we explained and will continue to explain, the Mishnah is referring to a situation where a woman was an arusa to a man and she fell to Yibum, and the Yibum wasn't yet performed. And the Mishnah teaches us during that period, the Yavam, she does not eat Truma even though her Yavam is a Kayin. My Tama, why by an Arusa, and certainly when it's past the 12 months, does the Arusa eat Truma, and by Yavam does this Halacha not apply? Answers the Gemara, Kinyan Kaspay Amar Rahman. The Torah says that who eats Truma? Someone who's a Kinyan Kaspay. This woman is not a Kinyan Kaspay of the Yavam. Hi Kinyan the Achavu. She's the Kinyan of his brother, and therefore she doesn't eat Truma on his account. The Rishonim explain, this is really just an Asmachta. Midaraisa, she should be entitled to eat Truma. It's only an Asmachta that doesn't allow her to eat Truma. Furthermore, as we said in the previous year, certainly once the Yavam performs Yibum and they become full-fledged husband and wife, if he's a Kayin, his wife will eat Truma. There is a Machloikus Rashi and Taisvis in the following situation. What would be the Halacha if a woman was an Arusa for the 12 months? And according to the Mishnah Rishayna, at that point, she begins to eat Truma. And then her husband dies before Nisuin, and she falls to Yibam. Rashi holds that since she's a Shemeres Yavam, our Gemara just taught us that Kinyan Achiv doesn't eat Truma. Taisus, however, disagrees. Taisus says the din of our Mishnah that was just explained by a Gemara is only in a situation that this woman never ate Truma by her husband. So we want to initiate that she should eat truma because of the yavam. Says the Gemara, kinyan kaspay v'loy kinyan da achiv. However, in a situation, says Taisus, that she was already eating truma by her husband, and now she falls to yibam, and it should just be a continuation, an extension of what she was doing when she was by the husband. Then Taisus says, even though she's a shemeres yavam, she would be allowed to eat truma. So our Mishnah discussed three cases. One case was where she was an arusa by her husband for 12 months minus one day. Another case was still when she falls to Yibum, and we just learned she won't eat truma. The next case that the Mishnah discussed was where she was 6 months by the husband and 6 months by the Yibum, by the Yavam. And the third case was where she was only one day by the husband, and then the rest of the time she was by Yavam. And again, in all these cases, she won't eat truma. Ask the Gemara, hashd b'fnei baal amart loy, if she was by the husband for 12 months minus one day. Still, once she falls to the Yavam, she won't eat truma. So b'fnei Yavam miboy, if she was before the Yavam for 12 months minus one day, she certainly shouldn't be allowed to eat truma. Why does the Mishnah have to mention all of these cases? Answers the Gemara, zuvein tzarech lehem zuketani. Indeed, there is no real chiddush in the other cases. Sometimes the Mishnah follows a format of saying dinim that are really self-understood. So we learned in our Mishnah, Zu Mishnah Rishoyna. The Mishnah Rishoyna held that a woman, once the time for a nesu'in comes and the husband doesn't marry her, should eat truma. However, the later Mishnah said that she doesn't eat truma until she actually enters the chuppah. Ask the Gemara, my tama. Amat Ula Vitamer of Shmuel bar Yehuda Mishum Simpoin. The reason is because of Simpoin, we're concerned that he may find with her a mum and disqualify retroactively in the entire marriage. Says the Gemara, going back to how we began our shiur today. Bishlam al Ula, we could follow the Mishnah very well according to Ula. Kamaisa, originally, Chazal said that even though an Arusa should be allowed to eat Truma, she should not eat Truma until she actually, the time of marriage comes, because we're concerned, perhaps her siblings, she may share her Truma with her siblings, and therefore, as we explained, unless the time of marriage comes, till then she's in her parents' home, living together with her siblings, and we're concerned that she'll share. That's why we don't allow her to eat truma. And the Rishonim point out why we're concerned about drinking, why we're concerned more about drinking than about eating. So the Rishonim explain, it's very easy, a drink is a very small thing, and it's very easy for somebody to forget themselves and drink this truma beverage that Yisrael may not. In fact, the Shittim Kubetzis goes a step further. He says, why does the Gemara use the terminology of Shemi Yimzugula Kaisavesavia? She says, Shemi Yashka, he'll give it to drink. So he says like this, if the husband is sending to the wife already wine that was properly diluted, he knows how much wine she needs to drink, and he'll send her the exact amount that she needs, and there won't be anything to share with her siblings. Here we're referring to non-diluted wine that's being sold. When you send non-diluted wine, explains the Shita, he may send a certain amount, assuming that she's going to dilute it at a certain ratio, and then she actually dilutes it more than he expected. And she ends up with more wine than he thought she's going to have. And we're worried that that extra wine she's going to share with her siblings. Now, explains Zula, Besraisa, then Chazal decided that there's another concern of Simpoin, that the husband may discover she has a mum, and therefore, retroactively, the marriage will have been invalid. So that's how we could understand the progression of the Mishnah according to Ula. However, says the Gemara, Elul Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Kamaisa. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said the original concern was Mishum Simpoin. And now we're saying that the later concern is Mishum Simpoin. So my benayu, what exactly happened? Answers the Gemara, Ika benayu, bedikas chutz. The nafkamina is, could a woman be examined by one's female relatives? And the way to understand it is as follows. Mar Sova, the original Mishnah Rishonah held, bedikas chutz shma bedika, that an external examination by one's relatives is considered a valid examination. And therefore, if the time of the chuppah comes and the husband didn't yet marry her, he'll ask his relatives to conduct a bedikas chutz, and if they say she's fine, he could start giving her truma. Well, Masav, but later on they decided the bedikas chutz lo shva bedika, that's not considered a full-fledged, valid, complete bedika, and therefore we can't allow it to eat truma, because he may find a mum with her until the actual marriage takes place. Maybe we can explain the machlokes this way. The Mefarshim ask, how could one say that a bedika, that an examination, could take place? One of the things that may be the problem is that he thinks she's a basula when she's indeed a baula. No examination by relatives could discover that. That we need to have a bia for. So perhaps that's the machlokes. We recall on Daf Yud Aleph we had a machlokes if kansa becheskes basula. If one marries a woman with the assumption she's a basula, v'nimtzas baula, and it turns out that she's a baula, is it a valid marriage or not? The Mishnah Rishonah holds that it's a valid marriage, and therefore the Mishnah Rishonah holds that all types of examination can be done by the relatives, and that's what should be done when the time for chuppah comes. And if the relatives come back to them and say that she's fine, there's no concern for mekach tos, and she's allowed to eat truma. The Mishnah Achrayin, however, holds the concept of cheskes basula, the nimtzis baula, is an invalid marriage that the relatives can't check for him. And there is no other option but to wait till he actually consummates the marriage and then finds that she's fine, and then she should be allowed to start eating truma. The halacha, as we have described, and we're going to discuss this more mitzvah shem in today's shir, is that a woman gets supported by her husband and she has to turn over her wages to her husband. However, Chazal identified how much those wages are. The amount of spinning thread, the weight of chomesh sloim every week. That's the minimum wages a woman earns, and she gives those wages to her husband, and her husband has to support her. There's another concept, and that's called meiser. What the woman earns above those minimum wages, also she turns over to her husband. And for that, he has to give her every week a ma'a kesef, a ma'a kesef spending money. Teaches us the Mishnah. Ha-magdish ma'asi dei ishtai. If somebody is magdish what his wife earns, the basic minimum, and as the Me'iri explains, our Mishnah is not referring to money that the woman already earned and is in existence. That certainly the husband has a right to be magdish. Our Mishnah is referring that he talks about her future earnings. Teaches us the Mishnah that hegdish is not effective, and the aloch is hareza oisav hachelish. She could work and she could use that money. They're not hegdish. What about hamoiser? If he was magdish the extra above the minimum earnings, Rameya. Here we have a machlokes Rameya and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Rameya says that hegdish is effective, and Rav Yochanan Sandler says chulin, it's not effective. There's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand this Mishnah. Rashi understands that our Mishnah is referring to two separate stories. One is that the husband was magdish, the master yodayim, where there everybody agrees the hegdish is not chal. And then there's another situation where he was magdish the meiser, and we have machlokes from Rav Yochanan Sandler. Tosfos, however, learns that it was really one situation. The husband was magdish both the Masi Yadayim and the Meiser, and the Mishnah is teaching us that on the Masi Yadayim the Hegdish is not effective, and on the Meiser we have the Machlokes Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda, Rameya and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Yechayel Isha Loim Lebala. A woman could tell her husband, I'm not going to work and I'm not going to be supported. In other words, according to Rav Huna, the halacha that a woman should be supported from her husband was done in her benefit, that she should have a means of support, and if she wants, she can say she could waive that right. There are many halachas said in the Rishonim around this din. The Rishonim say that when the woman says Einin Nezoinus, the husband doesn't have to support her, nor does the husband have to give her clothing, but the Rishonim do say that she will be entitled, that if she Chas V'Shalom gets sick, the husband will have to pay her doctor bills. Pnei Yeshua asks the question. He says, we learned that the Pasuk says, Sheira Ksusa Vainasa La Yigra. And we learned in the Gemara Machloikis how to define that pasuk. One of the opinions, which is actually the opinion of that the Rambam follows, the Shera means food, Ksusa means clothing, Vainosa means relationship. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. That means midoraisa, a husband is obligated to give his wife support. So how could a woman waive that right that is given to her, that the Torah obligates him, midoraisa? Answers the Pnei Yeshua, that even according to the opinions that explain the pasuk that way, as we said, that's the way the Rambam follows la halacha, that din is only said by a woman who has no means of support. But a woman who has an independent means of support, there is no obligation midoraisa, according to anyone, for the husband to support her, and that is the case of our Gemara. The Rishonim also go on to say that certainly a woman has no right to say, I want to be supported, but I won't work. If a woman is supported, the halacha is that she has to do this minimum amount of wages she must bring into the home. There's also a discussion amongst the Rishonim that according to Rav Huna, that a woman could waive and say, I won't be supported and I won't turn over my wages, what is she still obligated to do on behalf of her husband? As we will begin, starting in the next daf, the Mishnah, the Gemara, explains what responsibilities a wife has towards her husband. Explain the Rishonim, that even a woman who waives her right of support and giving her wages to her husband, still there are certain things that are done from a wife to a husband that bring a closeness between husband and wife, that certainly a wife is still obligated to do on behalf of her husband, even in such circumstances. Moreover, many Rishonim suggest that the obligation to run the house and bake and cook and do laundry will still remain her obligation, even if she says, "Ein in the zaynus vein oisa." There's also a shaila in the Rishonim. If a woman takes this option and waives the right to be supported and turn over her wages, what is the halacha? Could she change her mind? Most Rishonim explain that although she can make this, she could take this option, she's not obligated to follow this option forever. The Ritva seems to disagree. The Ritva says that she can't change her mind one day yes, one day no. It would look like a joke. But most Rishonim explain that although she could take this option, she's not stuck with this option forever. In fact, we learned earlier in our Masechta that one of the other takonis Chazal made were perkuna tachas peros, that the peros of the nichsim melug belong to the husband, and in exchange, if she is kidnapped, he has to ransom her. There we learned that the woman can't waive that right, that's something that can't be negotiated. And we explained that the reason it is because it's something that you have to make a decision that's a lifetime decision. And therefore, Chazal said it should not be open for negotiation. On the other hand, the Rishonim explained, this rule of Nezoinus, of him supporting her and she giving her wages to him, is something that could be renegotiated on a yearly basis, and therefore could be changed. The options can be changed from year to year. So again, Rav Huna says, Yechayla isha loyim elabala, ain in the zaynus ain oisa. Don't support me, and I won't turn over my wages to you. Because Rav Huna obviously holds, Ki tekin rabbana, what was the takon of Chazal? Mezayni ikar. Really, Chazal were concerned that she should get supported. Umas yidaya, why did Chazal say that she should give her wages to the husband? Mishum eva, to avoid a resentment. If the husband will be put into a position that he has to support her, and if she earns wages, she keeps them, it will cause resentment in the marriage. And that's why Chazal said she should turn over her wages. Therefore, if she says, "En in the zaynus en aisa," she has the right to say, "I won't give you my wages, I don't need your support." Harshus b'yada, it's within her rights.
Ask the Gemara, Meisai, we learned in a Braisa, take the Mezainos, Tachas Mas Yedeha. It seems from here that the main Takon of Chazal, there was that the wages go to him. And just that to avoid Eva, he should support her. Answers the Gemara, Eva, we should change the wording of the Braisa and say, Tikna Mas Yedeha, Tachas Mezainos. Really, the main takon is Mezainos, and we just give her, we just turn over the earnings because of that. Lema Mesaile, so the Gemara wants to say that our Mishnah is a proof to Rav Huna's opinion. We learned in our Mishnah, Hamagdish Masi Da Yishtoi, if somebody's Magdish his wife's earnings, Harei Oisav Achelis. She could, the not Kaddish, she could take those proceeds and eat them. My love. Isn't our Mishnah referring to a situation, B'nezoinus, where the wife is supported by the husband? And the Mishnah is saying that since she always has the right, this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, since she always has the right to back out of this arrangement, and that the Mezoinus, that she will keep her earnings, therefore, the husband has no right to be magdish them because they're not something that belong to him. Says the Gemara, Loi, Amish is referring to a situation where the husband is not supporting her. And since the husband is not supporting her, so she's keeping her own earnings, that's why he can't be magdish them. But indeed, in a case where he is supporting her, maybe he can be magdish it. Ask the Gemara, if we're explaining our Mishnah, b'she'en in the Zaynus, where the husband is not supporting a wife, so my lememra, of course he has no right to be magdish her earnings. She certainly has a right to keep those earnings. That's the way she's going to live. Because explains the Gemara, afilu l'man d'omer, yochel harav loyim l'eved. If even according to the man d'omer, that holds a master could tell his ever kanani, asay imi ve'en izoncha, work, but I won't support you. Hani mili ve'ever kanani, that's only regarding an ever kanani, the like sibay imach, where the Torah doesn't use the word kitav lay imach, where you have to treat the ever kanani well. Aver ever ivri, babay an ever ivri, the ksibay imach, where the Torah uses the word kitav lay imach, loy, the master has no right to tell the ever ivri, work, but I won't support you. And certainly by a wife, a husband has no right to tell his wife, work, whatever you earn comes to me, but I won't support you. Wife is even, certainly is treated better than ever ivri. So therefore, it's obvious that if the husband is not supporting the wife, and the wife is keeping the earnings, he has no right to be magdish them. So what does our Mishnah have to tell us that the hegdish is not effective under those situations? And says the Gemara, you're right. There is no chiddush in the Reisha. The chiddush is in the Sefer. Sefer Tzuchalei. Meiser, that if the husband was magdish to Meiser, that there we had a machlokes, Ramei Omer Hegdish, Rabbi Yochanan Samla Mechulin, as we're going to explain in the next year, why the Meiser, if he's not giving her the Mal Kesef, he's not supporting her, why is the Hegdish Chal on the Meiser? That will be a subject for tomorrow's year. The Mefarshim point out that even though our Gemara says, the Rishonim point out that even though our Gemara says that a master could tell his Eved Kanani, work, and I won't support you, that's only in a time and a place where the Eved Kanani can't find a way and a means of support. He could ask people for money, and he will be able to raise enough money to support himself. But if, let's say, there's a time of difficulty, economic difficulties, where there is no way for the Eved Kanani to find support, and his master wants him to work and doesn't want to support him, then halacha will not be, no one will say that the master could say to the Eved, Asay imi ve'en ezoncha. The Shita also asks, the main point of our Gemara is that the Gemara wants to say, if by an Eved Ivri, the master has to support him, and then only could he be entitled to his earnings, certainly so the halacha is by wife. So ask the Shita, why is our Gemara bringing in the entire subject of Eved Kanani? Answers the Shita, because the halacha of an Eved Ivri is only learned from Eved Kanani. Because as the Gemara contrasts, that by Eved Ivri the Torah uses the words Kitoiv Lo Imach, which are not words that are used by Eved Kanani, So that's why the Gemara had to bring both an Eved Kanani din and Eved Ivri's din to teach us the din of an Eved Ivri, and then by extension teach us what is the halacha by a wife. Says the Gemara, what Rav Huna said, that a wife could waive and say, I won't be supported and I won't turn over my wages to you, is in disagreement with Reish Lakish. Dom Reish Lakish. Loitamer, Reish Lakish explains Rameyer of our Mishnah. Loitamer the Rameyer. Don't explain the reason for Rameyer is, Shinukasav Adam Magdish Tavish Loibel Oilam, that a person has a right to Magdish his wife's earnings. Because Rameyer holds that somebody can be Magdish something that is not yet in existence. Jess explains to Reish Lakish the reasoning for Rameyer is, B'toch Shiyachal Koifel Amasi Yedeo, since a husband could force his wife to give him her earnings, Nasak Oimelo Yekachi Yadayach Loiseyim, when the husband in our Mishnah says Magdish Masi Dei Ishtoi, what he means to be saying is that your hands become Hegdish, and what the Hegdish at Taisa says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore since he can force her, that's why that everything she earns becomes Hegdish. Ask the Gemara, V'alayam alay hachi. That's not the wording of our Mishnah. He didn't say Yikachu Yadaychu lo seyem. What he said in our Mishnah is Yahegdish Magdish Masi Dei Ishtoi. Answers the Gemara, even though the wording that he used was Masi Yadecho Yubi Hegdish, we redefine what she meant to say means, what he meant to say is Yikachu Yadaychu lo seyem, and he is the Bailim over the Yodayim. Why, how do we redefine the words? Explains the Gemara. Kiv neshimin le Rameya. The Omar, Rameya says, Ein odem moitzu dvar levatala. People do not speak in vain. Where does Rameya say this? Rameya says this in Masechet Erechin. As we have explained, the Torah speaks about Erechin. Every person, based on their age and their gender, has a specific Erech. The Torah gives a specific value. However, the Torah does not give the erech for an infant less than a month old. Says Rameya, if somebody says the erech of a child who's less than a month old is on me, I'm supposed to give it. Since ain't other mighty dvaral vatala, people don't speak in vain. Says Rameya, what he must have meant was that he's going to give the value of that child. So we see the same thing here. Since the husband cannot say Masi Yadecho Mag should be Hegdish, because those Masi Yadayim are not yet in existence, and ain't other Magdish Dovah Shaloi Bala Olam, what we redefine and say what he meant was Yikach Nasik Omer Yikach Yadecho Loiseyim. The Rishonim point out that even though Rameya is of the opinion that a person that's only regarding Hegdish. If somebody made a vow for Hegdish, we try to explain that it should be effective. But it certainly, Ramey will agree that if in mundane conversation somebody says something that doesn't really necessarily make sense, there Ramey will not hold that every time somebody says something, he never says something levatolo. So explain, Rav Shlokish is saying that the explanation of Ramey in our Mishnah cannot be that he could be that he's Magdish her earnings that will come in the future, because they're not yet in the world, and ain't other Magdish Dovah Shloi Bal Oilam. Ask the Gemara, the Sov Rameya, ain't other Magdish Dovah Shloi Bal Oilam, does Rameya hold that we can't be Magdish something which is not yet in existence? Vatani we learnt in a Braisa, Hoi Melisha, somebody says to a woman, Hare, a non-Jew says to a woman, Hare at mekudeshes li lachash es gayer, I'm mekadesh you after I become a Jew, or lachash des gayer, she's not Jewish. And he says to her, the kedushin should be effective after you convert. Lachash des tacher, he's an Eved Kanani who can't make kedushin. But he says the kedushin should be effective after I'm freed. Lachash des tacher, he says after you're freed, she's an Oma. Kananis. Lachash shemes balach. The woman is currently married. She's an Eshesh, so obviously she can't get married to someone else. But he says the Kedushin should be effective after your husband passes away. Achash Thomas HaChoseich, the woman, he was married to this woman's sister. The halacha is that a man can't marry his woman's, his wife's sister, even after he divorces his wife, until his wife passes away. So it says after his wife dies, or after his former wife dies, the kedusha should be effective. She's a woman that's waiting for yibum, and she can't get married until she has chalitza. She says that the marriage should be effective after the chalitza, and all of these situations, Ramei Ami Mekudeshes, even though at this point it's not effective. Obviously, Ramei holds we can make a kinyan on a dova, shlabola, oilam. So why can't we explain our Mishnah that way? Also, answers the Gemara, Rish Lakish is going to hold, Mehiyin. From that price that we just quoted, it's obvious that Ramei holds Odom Magdish Dova Shlabola Oilam. But Meha, from our Mishnah, Lekel Mishnah, we know we don't have a clear proof that Ramei holds Odom Magdish Dova Shlabola Oilam. Rather, we'll explain that our Mishnah is referring to the person who said, Yekatshech, Yodayich, your hands, which already are in existence, Yekatshech, Yodayich, Lo Yiseyem, and that's why the Hegdish Eschal, because the hands which are in his domain, because according to Rish Lakish's explanation, she has no way of extracting herself from that obligation to her husband. That's why the Hegdish would be chal.